You're listening to SBS News.
No one's blaming anybody. That's the way that I look at it. No one's pointing the fingers. You can't really point the fingers, especially when it comes to unconscious bias. But once you realize or you feel a little bit uncomfortable, then the onus is on you to go out and educate yourself as much, because ignorance is no longer an excuse.
That's Prince Harry discussing confronting his own biases on issues of race and class in a conversation hosted by British GQ magazine. The Duke of Sussex talked about racial inequality, social justice, and his privileged upbringing as a member of the UK royal family and the skewed view it gave him of the world.
You know, having had the upbringing and the education that I had, I had no idea that what it was. I had no idea it existed. And then, you know, sad as it is to say, it took me many, many years to realize it, especially then living a day or a week in my wife's shoes.
And with so much discussion about bias and structural inequality, are employers keeping up? In recent research, Diversity Council Australia surveyed 3,000 workers, revealing those who described themselves as lower class were more likely to feel disadvantaged in the workplace. But in a country like Australia, where highly educated people on low incomes rub shoulders with wealthy tradies, defining who is lower class isn't so obvious. Lisa Annis, the CEO of the Diversity Council Australia, says the survey used a self-determination method to determine which class respondents belong to. Respondents compared themselves with others on the basis of wealth, income, occupation, education, family background, whether they had been to a public or private schools, and their networks.
The components that make up class, some of those components can be movable, such as someone's income and profession, for example, but then there are other things that are just intrinsic to who we are, namely maybe the wealth that we were born into or lack of wealth, whether we had intergenerational poverty, what kind of, you know, were we working class as children, or did we go to a public school or a private school? Those things tend to stay with individuals and they recognise themselves within that class.
Ms Annis says the survey reveals that class, more than gender, race and LGBTQI identity, is predictive of someone's experience of inclusion or exclusion in the workplace. 43% of lower class workers reported having personally experienced discrimination and or harassment in the workplace in the last 12 months, compared to 26% of higher class workers. Meanwhile, 27% of lower class workers said they worked in non-inclusive teams, compared to 10% of middle class workers and 5% of higher class workers.
And so what that means is that people from lower classes are more likely to be excluded, to be able to enter that talent pipeline that leads to executive positions. And people from higher classes who have, you know, might have much easier roads. And certainly we know from other work that we've done that you only have to look at the boardrooms and executive teams of Australia's top organisations and recognise that they are stacked with kids from private schools, from sandstone universities, and from, you know, middle to upper class families.
Dr. Claire Wright is a research fellow with the Department of Management, the Centre for Workforce Futures at Macquarie University in Sydney. She looked at the gender, age, ethnic, class and professional characteristics of corporate leaders such as CEOs and board members in Australia over the long run, and the role that unconscious and conscious bias plays in executive recruitment practices. Ms. Wright says the same elements can come into play at all levels of employment and recruitment.
And essentially the challenge for anyone who might be hiring someone or appointing someone to a particular job is that, say you're after an accountant, there might be like 1,000 some people who might be qualified for that particular job. And that's quite an overwhelming thing for the brain to try and tackle. And so it comes up with shortcuts to essentially figure out who to trust for that particular job. And humans are social, kind of tribal creatures by nature, and it means that we're more likely to trust people who appear to be part of our particular tribe, on the surface at least. And so meaning those who look and think and sound and act like us, we're more likely to trust them.
Dr. Wright says boards have come a long way since the 1980s and 1990s when they were dominated by men. But she says while there's been around a 30% increase in women on boards and executive positions, other types of diversity have been lagging, creating a trickle-down effect in hiring practices within companies and organisations.
There has been a lot of literature, UN mandates, government regulation and policies around gender diversity, but not around other forms of diversity. And so we haven't seen those results. But the stakes are pretty high. I mean, yes, it might seem safe to trust someone who looks like us, but what organisations also need is innovation and needs new ideas and fresh perspectives. And so if you just stick with people who look like you, you're probably going to stifle innovation and not have much sort of flexibility in your organisation.
And for people with disabilities, even getting to the first stage of the recruitment process is the biggest challenge. Suzanne Colbert is the Chief Executive of the Australian Network on Disability. She says officially there are at least 100,000 people in Australia with a disability looking for work, and many, many more who have given up. Ms Colbert says young people with a disability can find it especially hard to get a start.
And that's the real tragedy, that when young people don't make the transition from education to employment, if they kind of fail to launch, then they may be being consigned to a lifetime of daytime television.
Ms Colbert says the Australian Network on Disability runs a number of programs, including a university internship program for students with a disability to help them get paid work experience. She adds one of the main concerns for employers is the cost and risk of hiring a person with a disability. But she says there is government support making it easier for employers to accommodate employees with a disability.
One of Australia's best kept secrets is we have this brilliant program called Job Access, and the federal government will fund workplace adjustments to ensure that people with disability can get the equipment they need, the adjustments they need to be able to work effectively. And that's brilliant because it means that they, from a cost perspective, can be on a level playing field with every other candidate.
Mary Patetsos is the head of the Federation of Ethnic Communities Councils of Australia. She says bias is a natural human phenomenon, confirming in our minds a bond with those we consider similar, creating a sense of security. Issues arise due to a lack of awareness of this bias, resulting in the same groups doing the hiring and choosing people similar to themselves. But in a country as multicultural and diverse as Australia, hiring people just like ourselves is no longer an option. Ms. Patetsos says laws and organisational policies go some way in challenging employers to look beyond their own comfort zone.
One thing I find really useful is to think about your own life experience and where, in fact, on reflection, you remember being biased. So if you can remember that moment that you think, oh, I know what I did then and it wasn't the right thing, I think that gives you a really good base to then adjust your own thinking and behaviours.
Ms. Patetsos adds the issue of unconscious bias is further complicated by rising unemployment rates due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
I think in COVID, post-COVID, mid-COVID, or wherever we are with COVID, the number of people who are unemployed and the way in which we're going to have to re-engage a workforce is going to make this even more important, because there are many people who are young and unemployed and old and unemployed. There are different cultural backgrounds, so we have an employment and workforce issue on the back of COVID, and how we re-engage that workforce will be critical.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.